When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to District Nationals episode 1.15. I am Nick. You can follow me on Twitter at the Coach Moose. He is Trey. You can follow him on Twitter at Reverse Two R's Two S's in the show at District BSB. The trade deadline has come and gone. The Nationals have made some moves. But it might be the move they didn't make that really comes back to play the biggest part in what happens rest of the season and moving forward. We'll touch on that all in this episode. But first, Trey, what's going on?
Nick, I think the Nats did okay this deadline. Mm-hmm. Overall, like, there's definitely good moves that were made, starting with the Harvey deal, which we already covered. And yeah, like you said, there's also a deal that should have maybe been made that wasn't made. But overall, solid deadline, I would say, for the Nats.
Yeah, I'll say, like we talked about on District Baseball, we're both big fans of the teams that choose a direction, whether that's all in or all out. And by all out, that just means you sell everything that it's not nailed down and try to replenish your farm system and give it a go next year. Or get some money off your books and give it a go next year, as some teams did. The Nationals, they didn't quite go all out.
Close.
But, you know, they I think, you know, there was probably six guys they got that really could have gotten traded. They traded four of them. I'm including Derek Law in this. And I can kind of understand why they wouldn't trade Law, because they just need arms in their bullpen. So it's like, you know, already trading Harvey, trading away Floro, potentially trading away Finnegan, as like, Law wasn't going to net you a substantial return anyways. Like, he might just actually serve more value staying on the team and just being a guy you can go to. I get that. So I'm not too broken up about that. So, like, we'll say 4 out of 5.5 or so, 4 out of 5. Like, you know, that's pretty good. And within those actual deals, those deals in a vacuum, I think, you know, we got at the very least equal value, if not, you know, an outright win on paper in those trades. So we'll kind of just touch on them trade by trade. Like you mentioned, we already talked about the Hunter Harvey deal, but it happened so long ago, we'll just kind of refresh people's memories. They traded Hunter Harvey before the All-Star break in exchange for Caden Wallace, who's the Royals' number two prospect third baseman, currently in Double A. He's actually on the injured list right now, but prior to his injury, he was hitting really, really well. So you know, seems to be a good early return on that deal. They also got the 39th overall pick, a competitive balance pick, which is why it's eligible to be moved. In that 2024 draft that happened a couple of weeks ago, they turned that into Caleb Lomavita, who was a catcher out of California.
They really liked.
So it's like, you know, for us, seems like a win. For them, it's probably a massive win, because they didn't have to go massively under slot and use the 10th overall pick to get him. I don't know if he would have lasted five picks later when they were scheduled to pick at 44, but regardless, we don't have to wonder about that because they got their guy. So, you know, the other side of that, and certainly you don't wish injury on anyone, but Harvey has not been good for the Royals either. And, you know, has been dealing with, I don't know if it was a formal injury or just, you know, he had to leave an outing earlier, what it was, but they clearly traded Harvey at the right time is kind of the point. So for me, that trade is an A, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. What about you?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much right. I think a theme here is that you'll see is the Nationals want to address third base. I think since Rendon walked, there has been absolutely zero production from there besides Candelario last year, which was only half season. So I think when and even when we get to these other trades, you're going to see more third base, more corner infield types that we're just trying to get something going in that position. So Caden Wallace is a good start there. He's had a pretty damn good year in double A this year. So yeah, I think I'm with you. That's probably an A, especially when you consider Harvey wasn't really performing that well before that trade and is seemingly not doing so hot now. Obviously, I hope he gets healthy. Davey's usage could have had something to do with that, honest, if we're being 100% here. But in terms of trade value, obviously, this is a W for the Nats.
Yep, for sure. So A on that one. So it was off to a good start. And then it took a while before we got our next trade. And it was really, you know, for me personally, I was really ready to press that panic button because I wasn't sure how aggressive Mike Rizzo would be. We got some little semblance of hope last weekend, days before the deadline, where they shipped off Jesse Winker to the New York Mets in exchange for Tyler Stewart, who was the Mets' 17th ranked prospect, pitcher in Double A, I believe, right now, who has been performing pretty solid. One of the comps that I'm confusing pitchers, but anyways, I really like Stewart's stuff. They're kind of in this theme right now where we'll talk about the third base theme, but they're also betting on upside arms. Like, clearly they found something with guys with good stuff, but like high walk rates. And they figured out a way to kind of get that manageable, guys like Jake Irvin, Mitchell Parker, DJ Hirsch, right? They've also all really, really struggled with walks in the minors and the majors. You know, they've had their games, but generally speaking, it's been very, very manageable, if not excellent. So they're really starting to bank on guys with good stuff, and they're going to worry about the control issues later and kind of develop that out of them. So I like them swinging for the fences. I will say this one felt like a little bit more of an underwhelming return. Not anything against Stewart, but I just kind of hoped you would get at least a little bit more from Winker. I didn't expect him to return the same, you know, haul that you got for Candelario last year just because of the defensive stuff. But for being one of the better, cheaper left-handed rental bats on the market, cheaper contract-wise, I would have thought you would have had a little bit more interest and could have gotten a little bit more, but I don't hate the deal completely either.
Yeah, I feel like it's somewhat similar to that Candelario deal from last year. You go, you get a high upside pitcher who has good stuff that you want to try and, you know, capture his command. Although his command has been pretty damn good recently.
That is true.
Before being traded, I think in Double A, he was really starting to put that together. So that's even a good thing too. But yeah, when you think about it, what Winker was making, which was nothing because he was on basically a minor league deal, it is a little underwhelming. But at the end of the day, you know, it's only half a season of basically a DH. So I think this is probably I'd probably go B minus here. Still a win for the Nats, but definitely we'll have to see how Stewart progresses in the system to see if that can get bumped up.
Yeah, like you, Winker needed to be traded. Like, even if he stayed with the team for some inexplicable reason, he had no future with this team. So, you know, you really needed to trade him. So, getting something for him is good. I do wonder, had you just held out a couple more days, could you have gotten, you know, someone to just pay up a little bit more at the last second? That's what's really bugging me right now. I think B minus is fair because I don't hate Stewart. I think it's a fine return. I thought you could get a little bit more. That was my only thing. And I don't think the Mets were, we talked about the Mets on District Baseball. They did a really good job of navigating without giving up too much and but buying at the deadline. So it's like just inherently they wouldn't be the best fit if you're trying to maximize the return for Winker because the Mets were actively not trying to give up too much. Right, you could have traded him to a team that was desperate and wanted to give up too much, as we saw a couple of teams do. So that's what's really bugging me about this. But again, I don't hate Stewart. I kind of like, you know, banking on these higher upside arms. So yeah, B minus, I'll join you there. That seems fair.
I think the big winner is the next one. I feel like is the Lane Thomas trade because essentially the entire argument with trading versus not trading Lane from the Nationals has been that they value him as an everyday player. And if they weren't getting an everyday player package, they weren't going to trade him. And we were very skeptical that they could get a package that treated Lane as an everyday guy because he's more of a platoon guy. He's better, way better against lefties in his career. There's no doubt. Although he can hang with righties. But clearly Cleveland thinks that he's an everyday guy and put together a package that is definitely a big win for the Nats when you consider Lane only had a year and a half left. And they pick up, the big pickup is Alex Clemmie, a very young arm, but extremely high upside. And we've seen in the organization this year, Travis Sequeira, who is basically same age, 18, 19, really, really excel. So maybe they've got something with these young arms that they're able to develop now. And Alex Clemmie is a perfect candidate for that. Jose Tania is another player who, again, another corner infield type who the Nats really liked, who's having a great year. And we're going to see him this year. He was added to the 40-man pretty much instantly after this trade was finalized. And then they also picked up Rafael Ramirez Jr., another really young but really solid high upside infield prospect. And all for 1.5 years of Lane Thomas. I'm saying that's a huge win. I almost want to just go ahead and give that an A+, but I'll stick with an A just because it's going to be a little bit of time before we see some of these prospects have an impact. But really impressed with this deal.
I agree. It was very much a win. I saw some outlets. Listen, I actually like, I'm not going to say it because it's just going to invite, you know, that side of Nat's Twitter to be like, oh, well, this is why you can't trust that insert outlet name here. I actually like their reporting, but they were very low on this deal. For some reason, they gave it a C+. I don't know how you can ever grade this trade to C+ for the Nats.
Really don't get it.
Because Lane Thomas is very clearly a platoon player. I don't know what the hell people are looking at when they say, it's Mike Rizzo posturing, but like, Lane Thomas is not good against righties. Like, he's not. It's below league average. Like, it's not good. Like, can we just please acknowledge that? Like, it's not good, right?
We don't have to acknowledge it anymore. Yeah,
exactly. But, like, he crushes lefties and has a strong arm in the outfield. He can play all three outfield positions. Not that he's particularly good at any of them, but he can play, so he has some versatility. So, like, very clearly had a market. The value got for them, like, I would have accepted Clemmie alone, but
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I was like, that would have been okay.
Yeah,
and Clemmie, then you get two other solid guys and when one that can maybe help you instantly,
right? Clemmie was a really good get, young arm. I think he reported his first start, we're recording this on Wednesday, I think his first start's tomorrow, Thursday, for Fredericksburg. It'll be some time before we see him. I think 2026 or 7 is kind of the timeline that MLB Pipeline had for him. He's young. That's fine.
Yeah. You know, and again, another young arm with command issues, but a guy that the Nats believe that they can fix that. And if they can, he's got one of the best fastballs in the minor leagues. I mean, I don't even think it's a question.
Yeah. So that was a really good get for them. Rafael Ramirez Jr., I don't know if we ever see him in the majors, but again, he was Cleveland's number 27 prospect. And this is an organization that really, really lacked shortstop depth in the minors. And even at the majors, like, yeah, it's CJ Abrams, but then, you know, who else? Like, are we really going to pretend Nassim Nunez is an adequate backup? No. Like, they really needed just left side of the infield depth throughout the entire organization. Ramirez can play short. He might, like some of the other guys, end up at a different position in the infield. But has some pop, really needs to elevate the ball and be a little bit more consistent. But that was a good get. And then Jose Tania, who mentioned, he was kind of boxed out. Cleveland has a lot of good infield depth, both at the major league level with guys like Jose Ramirez and Andre Jimenez, but then in the minors as well. Tania had a cup of coffee with the Guardians and was on their 40 man. So he wasn't a prospect, but had he actually, you know, retained that prospect status, he would be a good get too. And, you know, probably be getting a little bit more buzz. I really like his stuff. Like, he has an 846 OPS in the minor leagues. They immediately added him to the 40 man, which they had to because he was on Cleveland's 40 man. But at the same time, we might see him really soon. Like you mentioned, Trey Lipscomb has been really, really, really bad since being recalled. He wasn't great even before being recalled. And while I like Trey Lipscomb, it kind of just is what it is at this point. You need to look elsewhere. He's not the answer, at least right now.
He's probably a utility guy long term, which is fine. I think that's how, if that's what he ends up being, that's cool because he can certainly pick it. But yeah, definitely they need to address their base. I mean, obviously you have House as well, so now it looks like you actually have some options. Maybe if one of these guys does pan out, you can look at them at first base as well, or, you know, left field, something like that, just to get some positional versatility, obviously, so you can get guys their ABs if they are performing. Another solid pickup here. Just hasn't been given consistent playing time in the big league level, so we don't really know what he is yet. Might end up being a quad A player, but he's basically a throw in. Like we said, I feel like we would have been cool with just Clemmy for Thomas. So this feels like an extra, just another win.
Yeah. So yeah, like I was saying, I think we end up seeing Tana soon, just out of necessity, because you're not going to get much from your lineup in general, as we've seen over the past couple of days, but also from third base, which we haven't been getting all season long. So I think we see him soon, but we could see a couple different guys soon. And that includes this last guy who came over in the Dylan Floro trade, as the Nats shipped him out at the buzzer. It actually was reported after the deadline, which happens all the time. Dylan Floro switches dugouts for the series against the Diamondbacks that just ended in a sweep. Shocker. but Dylan Floro goes to the Diamondbacks at the buzzer for Andres Chaparro, who was a minor league free agent, but has been absolutely mashing in AAA this year. And I would imagine we see him pretty soon too, just to see, because you never know. But he has been absolutely mashing. He was a Rule 5 candidate a couple years ago. I know some people wanted him then. The Nats finally get him now. Plays third, but probably winds up at first. But in the short term, he could play third conceivably for the team this year while there's an opening there. And Juan Yepes is obviously, you know, as the days go by, solidifying himself as the first baseman in the short term without real, you know, other consideration. So all in all, let's go back. So Lane Thomas, you gave that trade an A. I gave that trade an A. Dylan Flo for Andres Chaparro, what do you think about this deal and what do you grade it?
This is obviously pretty low key. It might not end up amounting to anything at all, but, you know, I'll probably be minus. You know, it's not a bad deal. I prefer this to what the rumors were saying. I actually, originally the Nats have been in love with Dylan Carlson for like 3 years. I don't really know why, but they thought he was a change of scenery guy. He might be, but his actual performance in the big leagues at this point hasn't been particularly inspiring. So I do prefer this opposed to that deal. And with the DH spot kind of being vacant with Winker being gone, you also have that. You can also put him there. You could put Yepes in the DH spot instead. And I honestly see Yepes probably as a DH long-term. He's not particularly great at defense, and I think the Nats should be looking at a potential first baseman in the offseason. So with that DH spot, you have options for a guy like Yepes, a guy like Chaparro, if he ends up panning out. Not really a big deal here, but they got, you know, solid value for a decent reliever.
Yeah. The Dylan Carlson rumors were entertaining. Like, just because I've seen a lot of people, you know, remembered how we got Lane Thomas as a Cardinals outfield castaway, and that's what Dylan Carlson was. And, you know, history very rarely repeats itself, but that would have been a funny one to try to make happen. But anyways,
don't tell that to the Braves.
Yeah, exactly. this trade is fine. You need to trade Floro, very similar to Winker. Like, he just doesn't have a future here. Expiring deal. You just had to trade him. So I'm glad they did. I'll give that one, I'll give it a B.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Because I don't think Floro was going to net you anything substantial anyways. So taking a shot on a guy who's mashing it could potentially help you this year, or help the major league team this year or early next year. That's a worthwhile flyer. That's Floro was a flyer. Excuse me. Floro was a flyer, and now you're just taking another flyer. So I'll give that one a B. So of the moves they did make, I'm like in a very strong B plus. You know,
yeah, I'm pretty much right with you. I can't B plus give to even A minus.
Yeah, I can't give him an A, but I'm fine with a B plus.
Yeah, it's like teetering there, but yeah, I'm saying probably like an 89 out of 100.
Yeah, I'm like 87, 88 right.
Yeah, so like tough grader. Obviously the elephant in the room here is that they didn't trade Finnegan. And when you saw what some of these relievers were going for, you think they probably should have, and they for damn sure should not have put him in that one game that he blew right before the deadline, because I mean, why, you know? But I guess if they were hell-bent on keeping him, it didn't matter. But definitely a little bit of a disappointment not to see him moved, because of the value some of these relievers. I mean, Jason Adam got three prospects by himself, and he's probably been slightly better than Finnegan this year, but not that much better. The thing with Finnegan obviously was that the underlying stats didn't love him this year. But either way, I mean, some of these guys that got moved were not even close to his level this year. Yeah. And he didn't end up getting, and it doesn't really make much sense, because he's like, I've seen fans throw out the extension thing, and I'm like, do you really want to extend this guy? He's like, he's going to be 34 at the end of his contract. Yeah. Like, I don't see that as a viable option for the future. So not really sure why they didn't move him, but they still will have the opportunity in the offseason or next year at the deadline as well, if he continues to pitch well, which he's kind of been struggling recently, but overall this year he's been pretty good.
And I hear that, but so that was the kind of big counterpoint I heard when, you know, I expressed my frustration with not moving Finnegan, was that, oh, well, you can always trade him next year. Well, you know,
the market's not going to be that good.
Yeah, the market called for paying up for relievers this year, and next year he is a rental, whereas this year he had a year and a half of value. So like, you're minimizing return. Also, if you're selling next year at the deadline, you're not competitive, so that's just like delaying things even further. Mm-hmm. And he's a year older, and honestly, who expects Kyle Finnegan to be an NL all-star next year? Not me. Right. So like, this was his all-star campaign. This is probably the highest his value has ever been, will ever be. Like, everything lined up and they couldn't pull the trigger. I think I tweeted out, you know, Mike Rizzo is going to come out and say, and he did come out and say that, you know, they didn't get the offer they wanted for Finnegan, which is probably true. And you know, it is what it is. But given what other relievers were traded for and how good those teams got the return for those relievers, Rizzo was probably just asking for way too much. And I think teams were, you know, valuing Finnegan closer to his metrics, where Rizzo was valuing him closer to his actual stats. And then, you know, in my mind, they tried to showcase him one last time. Maybe could have been like a potential goodbye to the team, one last outing, and it blew up in the most spectacular way. And he gave up 5 runs in a non-save situation and lost the game. So it's like, did that one game like turn these great deals into no deals? No. But at the same time, it certainly didn't help things, right? If you were right on the edge, that was not the swing, the argument that you would have wanted, right? Like, they had all this time to trade Finnegan. They weren't getting the offers they wanted. That thing didn't help, right? That outing didn't help. As far as the offseason goes, in their mind, they're going to compete next year. So, like, I don't think they're going to trade Finnegan in the offseason. So, again, that's also minimizing the return and delaying, you know, just pushing things farther than they need to be. So, I gave the deadline a B+, but not trading Finnegan, I just don't see, unless it becomes like prime Aroldis Chapman, Josh Hader, Craig Kimbrell, one of those elite, elite closers, I don't see how this cannot not be a mistake. Right. Yeah. Like, I just don't see a world where this works out for the Nats, because Rizzo comes out today and it was like, oh, well, we got better offers for Lane Thomas this year than we did last year. Bullshit. Bullshit. I call bullshit, because what's he going to say? Oh, I should have traded him last year. No, he's not going to say that. This is the same guy who said Juan Soto wasn't going anywhere and then traded him 2 weeks later. Like, it's all posturing. So I think they really missed the boat. It's obviously too late now. We can only talk about what, you know, may happen next, but I think they really missed the boat, and it sours what should have otherwise been a really strong trade deadline.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. If they do believe that they're going to compete next year, and they prove that by making moves in the offseason and free agency, I will be less inclined to be upset about that. Because at that point, if you are competing, you do want Finnegan. He's been solid. But they've got to show us that that's what they're going to do. And they haven't spent like any money in the past 4 seasons, basically. Yeah. And now there's really no excuse, because you got Corbin off your books. There's basically nothing on the books.
Steven Strasburg, which more than the rest of the team combined.
Yeah. That's basically the only hang up at that point. And that's not enough, to not spend. So they're going to have to up their spending in the off season, to prove that they really want to make a push for the wild card, probably, because again, this division is still brutal, and the Marlins just did all those moves and maybe got better and all that. So probably looking at wild card contention, but that's fine, because the wild card teams seem to get into the World Series pretty often.
Yeah, and that's all fine, but like, again, I see people be like, oh, well, they'll spin in the offseason. What about this current team tells you they're going to spend, or this current regime, whatever you want to call it, tells you they're going to spend? They've had plenty of opportunities where to add key pieces, and, you know, maybe getting James Wood up and Cruz right on the door is what they were waiting for. But like, I still don't think they're going to be all that aggressive free agency. Like, they're content just trying to let these homegrown guys like take over and not really giving them much support. And if you look at the team next year, nobody's on their second contract except for, I mean, I guess technically Ruiz, but like, is Ruiz even in your top 5, top 10 players that you have the most confidence in right now? So it's like, you know, you're relying,
and he's not even making that much,
right? Exactly. So it's like, you're relying solely on the homegrown guys to just carry you. And that's how they've been operating for several years now. So I don't think they're going to be all that aggressive in free agency.
They should be.
Yeah. Absolutely. And obviously we have all off season to talk about that, and even the rest of this season. But yeah, it's just, I think you missed the boat. You kind of screwed up a little bit, but you know.
Yeah, they at least did the Lane Thomas trade. At least
that one
softens the blow a bit, because they got a big W there. I don't even think it's a question. So,
yeah,
but yeah, no, like, they should get aggressive in free agency next year. There's no reason payroll wise that they can't. None of their guys are making that much money. And you have a young core that is ready to go. I mean, they play, I mean, you know, the record relative to the rest of the league isn't great, but I would say that they've played probably just as well, if not a little bit better than last year, which was an improvement over the previous year. So they're showing you they want to go, but you got to also provide some help. You can't do it 100% on homegrown talent. You know, even the Rays, who made the World Series in 2020, they didn't win it. So, you know, you have to have some type of free agent move that can help boost your team over the edge. And I hope we get that, but I'm like you, I'm not holding my breath.
I think there's one that, well, there's really two that make a lot of sense, but the one to me is Pete Alonso.
Yeah, a first baseman type. I mean, they need, just like,
first baseman makes so much sense.
Alonso, Christian one, Walker would be okay. Christian as well, Walker, but...
I'd be okay with if the team was doing better. Like if the homegrown core like finished the season strong, I'd be okay with Walker. But I think you really need like a bigger swing, and a guy who's younger. Walker's old and he's good.
That's true.
Good defensively, good offensively. You know, Walker still has value, but it's just giving a 3-year guy or 3-year deal to a 35-year-old guy, you know,
is dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous. And that might, you know, prevent them from spending even more. So it's like, not that Pete Alonso is the safest bet, but I would prefer that more than anything. Obviously, you know, Alex Bregman's a free agent as well. I would hate that just because I hate Bregman. But I also think they won't do that because they have so many third basemen now.
Bregman as well is – he really gets help by hitting at the Crawford boxes. Like, let's be
real. It's
not
the only way he gets help.
That's also true.
Yeah.
But you got to have the right situation for him to excel. And, you know, the half street wind is not going to help his pull side power that's basically all the power he has is pull side, which is fine, but you know, that's kind of how it works with stadiums.
There's
definitely some moves that they could make in the off season. I still don't see Alonso not in a Mets uniform.
No, me neither, but I think that's who they should target.
Yeah, now that would be a fantastic pickup. I mean, at the very least, you know you're getting the homers. Like, he's going to hit homers. And that is the biggest issue for this team, is hitting homers. So,
and it's also the safest thing to bet on in terms of paying a guy, right? Like, the argument for not paying Trey Turner was stupid, but was that his primary, like, asset was his speed. Like, that's not a safe thing to bet on. You know, hit tool is a little bit safer, but like, power is generally the one thing where you're just like, all right, even if you're only hitting, you know, 230, if you're hitting 30 home runs, then you clearly have a value to the team. Look at Giancarlo Stanton, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, I hope that's what they do inevitably spend on when they do spend, because, you know, having that in our lineup that has not had anything close to that in such a long time, you know, that would just be the safest bet and the best match for this team.
What's the Nats' last 40 home run hitter? Is that Bryson 15? What did we get?
No one else got it.
17 even that year?
No, because that was the year Bryce got hurt, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he didn't finish. Yeah, he probably would have gotten 40.
Yeah, and I think
Zim was close, but he didn't.
Yeah, Rendon, Zim, Soto, they were all like in the 30s.
Yeah, so I think if you do sign Pete Alonso, you have a potential 40 home run season again.
Yeah.
So that alone is probably a good enough reason to at least look into trying to sign him. And he's actually been hitting better recently. So, you know, he's just not the best defender. But other than, you know, I don't really care that much at first base anyways.
First base
and you can DH him. It's... Yeah, exactly. So it makes a lot of sense for them to look at him in this offseason.
Yeah. But we'll touch on that when we get there. All in all, trade deadline was a success. Could have been a bigger success, but it is what it is right now. We'll see how the rest of the season unfolds. I tell you, these post-deadline lineups are quite something. Always hilarious to see the lineup shifting year after year.
Yeah, you know, when Travis Blankenhorn comes up, that it's
it's about time to mail it in. yeah, you're only going for giveaway days and cheap tickets, which I guess they're always cheap nowadays, but yeah, it's you're not necessarily going for the on-field product. And now the pitchers are sucking too, which you know, was to, we talked about that, was to be expected with how many innings they're throwing, but soon Patrick Corbin's going to be the only, like,
oh my God. Mainstay. We didn't even get, wait, real quick. He had his worst start ever. And that's like, that's saying something. He had his worst start ever.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Right.
Yeah. It was bad.
11 earned runs. I think that's the most ever by any Nat starter ever.
It is.
That's worse than Guthrie. We've eclipsed Jeremy Guthrie. That is how far we have.
what sucks even more is he's necessary. Like, he's, I know, a at this point, yeah, I know. At this point.
He's like, he had, and of course his thing was eating innings. He didn't do that yesterday, but he will,
yeah,
going forward. I mean, I, unless he starts just giving up 11 runs a game, which, you know, it's not technically impossible with him. So
yeah, they're going to have to go 6-man rotation, or I don't even know what their options are at this point. Like, it's him, it's Rutledge.
I still think they should sign one of these cast-offs, Keuchel, just to eat something.
Or someone, I don't know.
There was one I was looking at. Cole Irvin.
Oh, yeah, Cole Irvin. Yeah, that was kind of a surprising one. Yeah, that would be a good one. They, yeah.
He's not great, but, like, who cares?
Yeah, it's bad. We
need innings most. We got to protect the young arms for next year. That's the most important thing.
And they have 40-man spots right now, so.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, trade deadline's come and gone. It'll be interesting to see what random Nationals get added to the list this season, given all the shifting around at the major league level. I assume we're going to see Dylan Krubes sooner rather than later as well, as he's already playing right field. And, would you look at that? The Nats just traded away the right fielder. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. All right. Well, that does it for this episode. Be sure to check us out on Twitter in the meantime at DistrictBSB. If you're not already, check us out on YouTube at District Baseball. Lots of content coming your way that way, as well as on TikTok at District Baseball there as well. We appreciate you listening. You can follow us on Twitter, Trey at Reverse2R2S's, myself, the Coach Moose. We'll be back next week. And at this point, let's go tank, because we're lottery eligible again. White Sox A's are not. So let's drive this thing home. Ethan Holliday, you
tank
are a
Commanders,
national.
Activate.
You are a national, baby. Ethan Holliday to DC. Let's get it.
I'm down.
All right. See you guys.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.